5 minutes of message. I don't know, but nevertheless, it's good to smile and have a good time in church. Amen. I have better time in church anywhere else in the world. Amen. There's no place I'd rather be, except if I was in heaven with the Lord, of course. But there's no place I'd rather be here than the house of God. If you found your place, we'll ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're just going to read a few verses here, if you're able to, in John chapter 20, and we'll start reading in verse 19. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Verse number 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for allowing us to be in church. And God, we thank you for another good day that you've given us in your house. Lord, I ask for your help. We ask for your wisdom. Lord, I pray that you'd remove us out of the way. And Lord, let the message be a help and encouragement. Be with that one who's never come to a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Going to preach on the thought, what happens when you miss church. And the passage that we just described here, we'll really expound on that more in just a second. But I want to give you a couple of things that I believe or I hope will be a help to you. I understand things happen, and those are not events that I'm talking about. Sickness happens, things happen. Sometimes work happens, and I understand those things. Sometimes folks go out of town. So please understand those are not things that I'm talking about. But even besides that, oftentimes even when you're present in the house of God, I think there's some things that you miss out on, right? Just because you came to church doesn't mean you got everything that you should. Amen? And so I want to give you, just really by way of introduction, before we even get into our text, you know, I read that scripture unto you just a second ago where David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord." And that was in Psalms 122 and verse 1. You know what I really appreciate about that text, church? I really appreciate his spirit and his attitude concerning the house of God. It was a happy moment for him. It was a glad moment for him that David described in his personal life. He said, "I was glad when he said, hey, let's go to church. It's time to go to church." I guess I want to ask you is, what is your spirit? What is your attitude when you know that it's time to go to church? You know, because sometimes I think we get to the place, well, you know, it's just something I got to get through. I don't want to get a phone call and wonder where I was at, or everybody asked me if I was okay, so I'm just going to go and get through it, and that way I can just be done with it and check it off my list. And church, I hope that we never make church something that we just want to check off the list. I hope that it's a highlight instead, amen? And you think about if you had a journal and you accomplish a task, those are generally things you check off or you cross out. I've done that. I'm finished with that. You know, I've done the chores. I did the laundry. I went to church. Let's check that off my list. No, I hope that our mindset, folks, is that it truly is a highlight or something that we circle, if you will, in our personal life, something that we look forward to when we come to the house of God. Because I can tell you that even if you come in the flesh, there's a lot of things that you're going to miss out when you come to the house of God if it's just coming to something that you're going to just check off of a list. Amen? So let me, just by way of introduction, church, give you a couple things that will help you not to miss church even when you're at church. And the first thing I want to share with you on that is to come prepared. Amen? Come prepared. Now, I want to encourage you to bring a Bible to the house of God. Amen? I realize that you have things, and some of you might be learning, and that's understandable. Those things I know you're still trying to learn the books of the Bible. So please understand that's not what I'm referring to. But I want to say, I think it's good to bring your Bible to church. Amen. Come to the house of God. Bring your Bible to the house of God. Come prepared. Bring your Bible and bring your smile. Amen. Be ready to come as is something that you're looking forward to. You know, when you come prepared, you know, when you think about bringing your Bible, it's important. Now, we always share the scriptures the best that we can. Sometimes Brother Dana doesn't get my messages, not because he didn't get them, because I sent them too late or whatever. That's not on him. That's on me. But we try to share that. We want you to see the Word of God. We want you to have the Word of God. We want you to visualize it. Anytime that we take the Bible and show someone how to be saved, we actually show them the scriptures. Amen. We want them to see the Word of God. So I want to encourage you to bring a Bible. Listen, around here we use the King James Bible. Amen. That's all we preach out of. That's all we teach out of. That's all we're going to ever use is just the King James Bible. So bring a copy of the Word of God with you if you can. Now I realize, again, some of you are learning. We've talked about that in our class. I understand that. So the first thing that will help us do is to come prepared. You know, one of the things that I know my wife generally does is that on Saturday night, the preparation for church comes already the day before. I'm not just talking about study time. My wife's already laying out clothes, right? I generally already know what I'm going to wear the next day. I don't even know what I'm going to wear. Amen. I go in the closet and she has it hanging there. I say, oh, look, I guess I'm wearing white and gray today. Amen. Yeah, I had to look. I forgot already what I was wearing. I don't know. Amen. So my wife's already picked out, laid out, put the tie there, has it all ready to go. Isn't that a blessing, by the way? Amen. I appreciate that. As she gets those things ready to go, and generally the boys have already got theirs. They're together. So you see, what is the purpose of that? Well, it's just a mentality, church. It's we're preparing to go to the house of God. My kids aren't wondering where we're going on Sunday morning. Amen. I don't want them to ever question. They don't need to get up and say, Dad, are we going to church today? And for the record, church, that was true even when we weren't preaching. Amen. Even if we're not pastored, it wouldn't matter. Even at times when we've served in local churches, they still didn't wonder what we were doing on Sunday morning. Amen. There wasn't, hey, can we sleep in today and go to IHOP, right? That's not the way. We might go to IHOP after church. Glory to God. I'm for it. I support them in a big way. Amen. I just support going to church first. Amen. So it's a mentality, church, of bringing our Bibles and even just the evening before. Now, I'm not telling you have to follow our schedule. I'm just giving you examples. I'm telling you this is our mentality, that we are already preparing and looking forward to church. We have full intentions of being here. So the preparations even start the evening before. Now, I realize sometimes on Wednesdays, we're just doing our best to get here. Amen. You know, literally, I log off of my phones at work. I hop in my truck and I get here. Amen. I get here legally. Amen. Okay, some of you wondering. Amen. We get here legally. And even if it's a couple minutes late, I'd still rather get here legally and safe. Amen. But we come, and so we do our best that we can. But it's a mentality, church. David had the spirit and the temperament that he had. He was looking forward to church. So the first thing I want to encourage you about is to come prepared. The second thing, come prayed up. Come prayed up. Come prepared, but then come prayed up. Amen. Now, the men have started to already gather 10 minutes before the service. I'm so proud of these gentlemen. Amen. Listen, ladies, listen real close. You still can train old puppies. Amen. You still can. Say, what do you mean? It's only taken a couple of weeks, and I was already back in the Sunday school room, and 10 minutes before, it was a blessing. I'm being serious. Men started coming in. I'm calling it the prayer room now. Amen. I realize the high school meets in there, but it's our prayer room, glory to God. Amen. And the men are already starting to come in at 10 minutes. You know why? Because they're coming in to pray. Because, hey, it's important. Now, again, we've emphasized we're praying for the service. We're literally, now if there's a special need, we're going to mention it. But our particular goal in that moment is to actually pray for the service. Amen. And so I appreciate that. The men have come. So the thing that will help us get more to church, come prepared, but then come prayed up. Say, what do we pray about? Well, we pray for God to save souls. Amen. Hey, we don't ever want to assume that everybody who comes to the house of God is saved. In fact, that's a lot of times when people come to the house of God. If you're here tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity. We want to share some things with you about that. But we pray for God to save souls. We want to pray for God to feed us. Amen. You know, to give us what we need for the Christian. We want to pray. You know, Miss Nancy just shared a testimony about getting to speak to someone. We should pray to bring them in. Amen. Bring in the sheaves. Sometimes you've invited somebody to church. Let's pray that they come. Right. So there's a lot of things to pray about. You know, somebody might be here in church today, and boy, they're just grieving on the inside. They're hurting. They're struggling on the inside. We ought to pray for them. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's somebody else, right? So first of all, come prepared. Second of all, come prayed up. Third, come praising. Amen. Ready to give God glory. Ready to give God praise. Ready to worship. Having a song in your heart. When I say a song in your heart, I don't necessarily mean picking one for special requests. I mean, and if you do, that's great. But you know, the Bible talks about the psalm in the book of Psalms, having a song in your heart. It's really, again, just a tone of our spirit. It's our mentality. It's our heart that we come ready to worship. Amen. Come ready to praise God. So we come prepared, come pray, come praising. And then the fourth thing I want to mention is come presenting. Come presenting. I remember one time that a preacher was preaching, and he mentioned about three things that would be good to help come to worship the Lord when you come to church. He mentioned we need three things. We need a songbook. We just talked about the songs, amen. We need a songbook. And then we also need a checkbook. Now, don't take that wrong, okay? Just hold on a second. Don't get upset about that. Hey, but listen, we touched on that the other day, so I'm not going to say hello. But he said, bring a songbook, bring a checkbook, and bring God's book. Amen. Those are the three books that you want to bring. Now, I realize somebody said, preacher, I don't even have a checkbook. I know. But just go along with me for the sake of the message. Glory to God. Amen. I understand. In fact, I had to go get the checkbook and get my wife to get it out. I don't have a checkbook on me. Amen. I use the little card. I don't have. If you need to borrow money from me, I'm the last person to come talk to. I don't have any. Not on me anyway. Amen. But come presenting. See, we're talking about an offering to the Lord. The Bible says that He gets the first fruits of all of our increase. Amen. So we're bringing that to the Lord. Again, as we said the other night, it's not for me. It's not for any particular person, anything that comes here. That belongs to the Lord. Amen. So come presenting. So you're bringing an offering to the Lord, but then also come encouraging. Ready to encourage another brother. Friend, you have no idea, and it's one of those things you may not fully comprehend until you get a chance to really talk to people and visit with people, but you have no idea how much the brother sitting next to you just might be hurting this evening. Or the sister across the aisle from you is hurting this evening. Friend, these are real people with real problems in life. And you just don't know how much it might be to go by their way and say, brother, good to see you, my friend. Hope you're doing all right. Glad to see your smiling face in church today. You just never know how much that might help somebody. You never know. I've heard stories about people testifying that they had decided that that was their last service in church. And then somebody came by their way and gave them a warm handshake and a warm smile and just really encouraged them and lifted up. You ought to make it a goal every time you come to the house of God that you come by, your intent is, I'm going to encourage somebody. Somebody, Lord, show me somebody that I can be a blessing to and encouragement to. Now, a lot of times you say, well, preacher, I'm one that needs encouragement. That may be true. Why don't you let the Lord lay somebody else's heart to come by and encourage you? And in the meantime, you focus on letting the Lord put somebody on your heart. You go and encourage them. Amen. So these are things, just as we're coming, that will help us, I believe, to be more prepared and get more out of church, to not miss church even when we're here. Now, as we look at our text here, there's a few things I want to share. That was all introduction. You think, my, that was a long introduction. It means a long message. No, I just wanted to give those thoughts, church. Here, let's look at some things. Now, in John chapter 20, verse 19, notice with me two things in the first couple sentences. It says, then the same day at when? Evening, being the what? First day of the week. Now, this is a very smart congregation that we have here. Amen. Y'all were some of the smartest folks I've ever preached to. What is Sunday? The first day of the week. What time is it right now? Evening. You mean that Jesus came to the evening service? Glory to God. Boy, He sure did, didn't He? You see, they had already assembled that morning. Did you notice in that part of the verse it said they had assembled? Do you know what a church means? A church is an ecclesia, which means a, guess what? Called out assembly. So they had already assembled that morning. And would you believe it that they decided, Brother Tuck, to assemble again for the evening service? Amen. Glory to God. That's right. So they met that morning on what first day of the week is it? Sunday. And what time was it at? Evening. Hey, what is today? Sunday. And it's evening time. Oh, isn't that something? Glory to God. So Jesus showed up to the Sunday evening service. Now, as soon as I say that, somebody's going to say, well, show me where they came to Wednesday night Bible study, glory to God, right? In fact, I have reason to believe that I'm not sure they didn't meet Bible study almost every night of the week. Amen. But my point is, Jesus came. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, Sunday morning's the best service. I think the best service is anytime the Lord shows up. Anytime Jesus passes by, that's the best. And, you know, there's not a restriction that says, well, you know, there's nothing that the Lord says, well, you know, the most folks come on Sunday morning, so I'm only going to show up for the morning service. I don't believe that's the case. Hey, listen, Jesus showed up to morning services. I've seen him show up to evening services, night services, midnight services, watch night services. Amen. Where two or three gathered in my name, we come with the right spirit and the right temperament. Hey, friend, I'm glad when he shows up. But all I'm trying to show you all here is just a simple principle here. They gathered that morning on a Sunday morning. They gathered again on Sunday evening and were assembling together, and Jesus came. So first of all, we see that Jesus showed up to the evening service. But then we start talking about a couple things that transpired here. And did you notice when we read in verse number 24, Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You know what that means? On this particular day, Thomas missed Sunday evening service. Right? Now, don't misunderstand me, church. I'm not being critical of you if you did. I'm just showing you a couple thoughts here. Okay? So just bear with me. On this particular day, now, I have strong reason to believe that after this Sunday evening service, Thomas said, I'm not missing anymore. You ever not been able to come? You know, you weren't able to come for a sickness or whatever the case was. And then sure enough, somebody says, boy, you missed a good one. You ever heard that before? Boy, man, the Lord really showed up tonight. Hey, man, boy, I wish you had been there. You just had to have been there, right? I don't see it, but I wonder if some of the other disciples told, Brother Thomas, brother, you just had to have been there this morning, or excuse me, this evening to see what Jesus did when Jesus showed up. But we see here that Jesus showed up, so Thomas wasn't there, so there was some things that Thomas missed. So what did he miss, preacher? Look, verse there, verse number 19. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Twice we see that Christ had a message of peace. You know what he was doing here? Did you see that they were assembled out of fear? Again, you heard me mention this morning, we ought to not take for granted the fact that we can gather together, have church, and not worry about anybody charging in here and saying, you know, you can't preach out of that book. Right? Or the fact that we can still put up a sign out there that says Florence Baptist Church and lets everybody in the community know not just who we are, but what time we're going to assemble. Amen? And for the record, now this isn't part of the message, but since we're talking about church, I want to say a couple. Florence Baptist Church, those words mean something. Florence describes the community that we're in. I realize you don't have to have that name. There's good Bible-believing churches named Calvary Baptist Church and all kinds of other things, and that's fine. But Florence is just a representative of the community that we're in. That word Baptist is important to me. Amen? Say, do labels really matter? Does it really matter? I think that it does. Amen? When you look at me and you see at my hand, there's a label about me that you, even if you don't know who I am. What does that tell you, Brother Kevin, right there? I'm married. That's a label that says, hey, I'm married. That tells you something about me before you even get to know me. That word Baptist out there tells us about something about who we are before you even come in the door. And then that word church, boy, that's important. You know, there's a lot of places today don't even have the word church in their name. This is just a question that I had. They don't even call themselves a church, should we? Just a thought. They don't even refer to themselves as a church, should we? See, church, we're Florence Baptist Church. We're going to get more into that and what that means. But that matters. That's important. But I'm glad that we can still put up a sign that says who we are and a little bit about what we stand for. But when we're talking about here, getting back to that, they were meeting out of fear. And Christ brought a message of comfort to them. Twice he said, "Peace be still." They were meeting out of fear, and Christ brought a special message for them. Friend, there's a lot of times that people miss out on a special message that Christ, that the Lord is trying to give them. There was a message of comfort specifically for the disciples and for those that had met together in light of what they were dealing with. Do you realize, friend, that God always has something for you that most likely relates to something you're dealing with in life? And friends, when we miss and we're not able to be here, that is part of what we miss. There was a particular message from the Lord of peace be still that was a comfort to the disciples. And friend, those are some of the things that sometimes we miss when we're not able to be here. So we miss out on a message from the Lord, and this, of course, was a special message, comfort. I believe that also we miss out on blessings. You see, he did something here, church. It says in verse number 20, "And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his sides." And notice what happened. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Now think with me for just a second. He came by. This is during his, before his ascension, after the resurrection, and he came by and showed them his side and his hands where he had been pierced and nailed to the cross. They saw that and it made them glad. That encouraged them. That was a blessing to them to be able to witness that from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you see, church, sometimes when we miss out on a special message that God had prepared, particularly for you and I, but then also we miss out on a blessing that may be something God was trying to show you. You see, friend, those are some of the things that we miss. Poor Brother Thomas couldn't make it that morning. I don't know what happened, or that evening. I don't know what happened to Thomas. I'm not. My goal is not to criticize Thomas, by the way. I'm just trying to make a point. These are some of the things that we miss. Would it not have been a blessing to you and I, friend, to see the risen Savior come by and show his hands and show his side, saying, "Hey, I said I was going to rise up from the grave. Here I am. Hey, I said that I was going to be crucified and in 3 days come up out of that tomb. I said that I would be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Here I am." Well, tell me that would not a blessing to see Jesus in the flesh showing that, "Hey, here's what I did for you, and I'm alive and well." You know, friend, oftentimes there's other things that this isn't really directly what we're talking about, but you know, sometimes folks will testify. We heard a few testimonies tonight. And you know what? God can show me something through somebody else's testimony. God can show me something he did in somebody else's life. And you know, oftentimes when we testify, we don't realize that maybe somebody is dealing with that same thing. Maybe somebody needs help in that area that they testified in. "God, let me tell you, church, how I was sick and God healed me." Well, maybe somebody's dealing with that exact same thing, and that was a blessing and a help and encouragement to them to hear the testimony of another brother or sister in Christ. So the first thing we miss is we miss out on the special message. The second thing we miss out on the blessing. The other thing that I believe that we miss is part of our growth. Now, the Bible teaches us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he said this, and you've seen that part there, in verse number 20, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, 'Peace be still, even as my Father has sent me, even so I send you.'" So really, there's two parts. First of all, I think that this was also a growth point for them because the Lord, they became glad They got a blessing, but then they also got direction from the Lord. He said, the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Do you realize that it's part of our growth as a Christian to continue to receive guidance from the Word of God? That helps us to grow, spiritually speaking, when we hear direction, when we hear the preaching and teaching of the Bible, that helps us to grow in our life. Not to mention, it helps to make God's will more clear into our lives. I mean, here he told the disciples, God sent me, now I'm sending you. So he's given them instruction. He's given them something to do. He's given them clarity in their life. And you know what I've come to find out, friend? That's what God gives me when I come to the house of God. That's what God gives me when I hear preaching. Let me explain something to you, church. I've had a personal conviction of mine. If I intend to preach three times that week, at minimum, I'm going to get in twice as many preaching at me as I'm going to give. So what do you mean, preacher? If I'm going to preach three times, I'm going to listen to or read at least six other messages. Most likely, it's usually three times that much or more. Generally, I try to get in something on the way to work. I got about 30 minutes in. There's some shorter-winded preachers out there than me, and I try to fit them in. You know, I fast-forward the songs and all that stuff and get to the preaching. All right, I don't got time for it. I need to get to the preaching. I try to get something in on the way in. A lot of times in the evening on the way home, I try to make phone calls, check on folks. How you do it? Right? See what's going on. But you see, friend, I that's just something, because I need preaching too. I'm just as wicked as the next guy. I need preaching too. But what I'm trying to say, friend, is I need to hear preaching for my personal growth and development. You need preaching for your personal growth and development. And those are some of the things that we miss. And it becomes more real to us, more clear to us, the more preaching and teaching of the Word of God we get. Do we think by pure logic, if we're trying to understand God's will, and we know that this is God's Word, that it helps us to get more of God's Word or less of God's Word? The obvious answer, church, sort of rhetorical, it helps us to get more of God's Word. You know, part of the reason that we're going next week, going to Spiritual Leadership Conference, it's really, they really cater to pastors, church leaders, ministry leaders, evangelists, missionaries, and just all week we get fed. And boy, I'm looking forward to it. Church, I need it. I need the help. I need lots of help. Amen. I need the Lord to come by and speak to me. I need the Holy Spirit of God to show me some things in some areas in my life that I need to improve upon. So we see here that we miss out on a special message. We miss out on a blessing. We miss out on a church growth. You know something else I think we miss out on that I think is underrated? We miss out on the family reunion. You know what I mean? You miss out on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, I look forward to coming by and seeing you here in church. Amen? Yeah, I look over there and Chuck was sick for a couple weeks. Man, I miss old Chuck Bucks. And he's my buddy. Man, I need Chuck right where he is. Man, if something was to happen to this fellow over here, I'd be brokenhearted about it. Amen? I mean, I want that. That's where Chuck sits. That's his little, you know, tray for his Bible that he needs to be able to flip through his Bible. And boy, he comes in and gets set up. Friend, that's an encouragement. You know why? Because he's faithful. Man, it doesn't matter what's going on. Chuck is there. And you know what? If he's not here, man, it's going to bother me. Right? I look back, I see you everywhere. I look back there, man, I can't help see Dennis. Well, he's always smiling from ear to ear. Sister Judy, you just look, encourage her. Just these folks, a lot of you too, I'm just pointing out. It's just smiling from ear to ear. I don't know what I'd do if I come by and Miss Wayne doesn't give me a hug at church. Just doesn't feel like church almost. Amen? Miss Carol, not give me a hug. I told Miss Carol she was behind. She owed me some hugs last time. She had to miss a service. I said she was behind. Right? I'm still going to bill her for it. Amen. Glory to God. I look forward to seeing the church family. Amen. Look down over here, see Miss Nancy, Brother Kevin. You know, it's hard to get through a service. They do so much for us. They're such a help and encouragement. Right? Tuck's not here. Who's going to bring my water? Right? You see what I mean? Obed's not here. Who do I know? He's definitely going to praise God for something. Amen. I mean, if nobody else has something to praise God for, I know Obed's going to do it. Right? You see what I'm saying, church? That doesn't mean I'm just giving you examples. you miss out on the family reunion. And Thomas wasn't there. He couldn't fellowship with the other disciples. And you know the thing about it is that Thomas was already struggling with his doubt, with doubt in his life. Now, do you think if Thomas had been there for the Sunday evening service that that would have been a help with the doubt? That yeah, because he would have got to see Jesus. He would have got to see him, show him his sides and his hands as Jesus described. Now, Christ was gracious anyway. We'll see that in just a moment. But again, these are the things, folks, that we miss when we miss church. Now, I'm just about through here. Let's read on just a little bit in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. There it is. You remember me telling you that there's always that one? Boy, you missed out. Jesus showed up tonight. Amen. I mean, you really missed out on a blessing. There it is right there. Hey, Thomas, guess what? We saw the Lord. We seen the Lord. Boy, Jesus showed up tonight. Isn't that good? But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and prints of the nails and put my finger into the print of his nails and thrust my hand to the side, I will not believe. Thomas was struggling. Now, again, I'm not trying to condemn Thomas at all. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not condemning people that aren't able to be. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is that Thomas did miss out on something here that he needed. He was already struggling with doubt, and he says, you know what, except unless I see him, I can't believe. In other words, I got to see it for myself. Now, is that real faith? No. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's not real faith. But was Jesus gracious to him anyway? Yeah, let's read on and see what happened. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within. And guess who was with them this time? Guess who said, I'm not missing anymore. And Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, and they shut, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Had a message, but then he looked over to Thomas, or saith, speaking to Thomas directly, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, get that for me, son, and reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now, Jesus could have took the position, you know what, Thomas, you didn't show up, you just missed out. You know, Jesus could have preached to him a special message about his lack of faith. But you know what? I think what Jesus did was very, very gracious. He said, Thomas, I don't want you to be without faith. I tell you what I want you to do, Thomas. Why don't you go and look at my hand. Put your hand into my side right here and go ahead and believe. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, there's often times where we don't believe when we should believe. We've prayed for something. We might have even shared it at church, but do we really believe that God's going to do something through it? But you see, that's often times where God's gracious enough. He said, you know what? I'm going to grant this for you anyway, even though you didn't really believe. That's the grace of God, friend. He doesn't have to do that, but sometimes he does. Christ was gracious. I believe it was a very gracious act. Jesus didn't have to come back. He didn't have to spend special time with Thomas, but it just really shows the nature of who Christ is. Thomas came the next time. He said, I'm not missing this service. And he had something special, very, very, just special for him. The Bible says he spoke directly to him. He saith unto Thomas. He didn't say to his disciples. Now, I'm sure the other disciples witnessed that. But he was speaking directly to Thomas. Let me ask you a question. You ever come to the house of God and you feel like, man, God is speaking directly to me? Who's felt that before? Amen. I feel that all the time, right? You know, I get on there and play a message, or somebody will send me a message, and sometimes I think the same thing as you. Man, who's been spying on me? Right? I've got that. Amen. Sometimes you come, and man, somebody must have told preacher I'm battling with that. You know, God knows exactly what we need. In fact, oftentimes you hear us pray, say, Lord, give us exactly what we need. You know what we need more than we do. And it's true. And God and Christ had something very special directed at Thomas. Then, of course, as you see, and be not faithless in verse 27, but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saying to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. So Thomas finally believed, and all Jesus added was that, you know, I'm glad that you believe now, Thomas, but there's a special blessing on those who actually believed and had not seen, right? However, Thomas got what he needed. Thomas got what he needed. Now, he could have said, you know what? I don't really believe Jesus came to the evening service. I'm not coming. But he did come. Church, these are things. These are things that we often miss when we're not here for whatever reason. Again, I'm not preaching this in a way to condemn you. I'm preaching this in a way to encourage you. I'm preaching this in a way to encourage you. Friend, this is sacred. Boy, you know, I believe that preaching is sacred, not because I'm the one preaching, but because of what God has ordained. That is our duty and responsibility. And so I am a firm believer that if we're not able to hear that, if you're part of this church, part of this assembly, then we miss out on a lot of things that God intends for you and for me. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. As the pianist plays, friend, as I've said a couple of times, this evening is just really intended to be an encouragement to you. I hope that you realize and maybe look at church with a little bit different perspective. I hope that you'll come prepared, ready. I hope that you come with a good spirit. Like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope you come here looking forward to church, friend. Ready to receive a blessing, ready to get some help from the Lord, ready to get something directly from God. And maybe tonight God spoke to your heart, whatever your need is. I do want to invite you to come. If you're here tonight, friend, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You know, friend, let me share a couple quick thoughts on that. It's important for us to know that there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. John 14 and 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's also important to know, friend, that there is a heaven, which many people want to believe, but if you believe in heaven, you got to believe in hell. Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven. Probably a reason for that. And friend, even in our study with our class, we've been talking about those who do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, unfortunately, are cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever's name was found not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Friend, that's a truth. So what I'm saying, friend, if you have never received Christ as your personal Savior, I'm trying to tell you today, friend, that heaven is a real, or hell is a real place. Heaven is too. But hell is a real place. And unfortunately, it's for those who have not received Christ. So if you're here tonight, friend, and you would say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I know if I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that at all? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody, I'm going to pray here in just a moment, but I'm not dismissing the service yet, church, so please just pray with me for just a moment. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Father, we thank you for the service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to hearts. But Lord, as one mentioned, they're not sure about their salvation. I pray that you'd help them tonight. Help them to get understanding and assurance, whatever the need may be. And Lord, if there's anybody else here this evening, Lord, I pray that you'd help them realize that today is a day of salvation. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Please remain standing with your head bowed and eye closed. I'll ask Brother Eccles if you'll come up for the front for a second. If you're here tonight, friend, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, would you come down? Brother Eccles, be happy to take a Bible and show you. Even if you didn't lift your hand, Anybody else tonight? Anybody else tonight? Church, I ask if you'll just pray with us. Folks have needs tonight, special needs tonight. Just pray. Would you do that with me, please? Maybe where you're standing there. Just ask the Lord to meet a need tonight. But I do want to ask if there's somebody else here tonight. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you. Maybe one of you men need another man to pray with you. Maybe one of you ladies just need a lady to pray with you. If you'll come down, I'll make sure somebody comes and prays with you. If that's you tonight, friend, won't you come? Won't you come? Just give it over to God tonight, friend. Give it to the Lord tonight. Don't miss out on a blessing. Don't miss out on what God's trying to show you. How about you, friend? How about you? God's speaking to hearts tonight, friend. How about you? All right, church. All right. Let me share this with you tonight. I don't think that he would mind. But I know Brother Roger's been struggling with his salvation. Tonight he came by and got assurance and received the Lord as his personal Savior tonight. Amen? Amen. Amen. So you get by and encourage him, okay? And sometimes folks struggle, and that's understandable. But that's what the church is here for. And thank you, Brother Echols, for coming by and being a help tonight, brother. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you. Thank you so much. So you get by and you be an encouragement, amen. Be a help. Offer to be a blessing. Offer to be somebody who prays, amen. So other than that, thank you all for being here this evening, church. Thank you again for your faithfulness in the house of God. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and be dismissed tonight. Brother Kevin, can I get you, if you would, brother, dismiss us in prayer?
Y'all please bow your heads with me. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the messages. Again, Father, humble us. Help us to take these messages in your scripture and hide them in our hearts and to apply them to our lives, Father. And now as we go out through the rest of the week, please guide us, direct us, and keep us safe. And bring us back, Father, as often as we can get here. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.